Good afternoon. This is Akashvani. I'm Anuja Kumar with the Midday News. The headlines. U.S. President Donald Trump says he's considering winding down military operations against Iran as it is getting very close to meeting the objective of operations. United States announces a 30-day sanctions waiver permitting the sale of Iranian oil currently stranded at sea to stabilize global oil markets. Election Commission constitutes 19 appellate tribunals in West Bengal to hear appeals related to inclusion or exclusion of voters in the electoral rolls as part of special intensive revision exercise. President Draupadi Murmu offers prayers at Dan Ghati Temple at Govardhan in Mathura, also undertakes traditional Govardhan Parikrama. Eid ul-Fitr, marking culmination of holy month of Ramzan, being celebrated today. President, Vice President and Prime Minister extend greetings to the people, and IMD issues alert for thunderstorms accompanied by hailstorms over Odisha, West Bengal and Sikkim today. And now the news in detail. U.S. President Donald Trump has said that he's considering winding down military operations against Iran. In a post on Truth Social, Trump said they are getting very close to meeting their objective of the military operations and hence considering winding down the military efforts in the Middle East. His post was the strongest indication yet that he may be prepared to soon end hostilities that began on the 28th of February. Trump's statement comes amid Iran's intensified retaliatory strikes to the attacks U.S. and Israel launched on February 28. This week, after Israel struck a key gas field in Iran, the Iranians hit back by targeting world's largest LNG plant in Qatar, which is on the other side of the same gas field. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel will stop attacking the gas field that Iranians depend on for most of their electricity at the request of the U.S. president. United States has also announced a 30-day sanctions waiver permitting the sale of Iranian oil currently stranded at sea. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said that the decision is intended to quickly stabilize global markets by unlocking already available oil supplies. Israel has intensified its military campaign against Hezbollah, carrying out a fresh wave of precision airstrikes on Beirut's southern suburbs. The strikes followed evacuation warnings to residents, with the Israeli military maintaining it is targeting command centers and infrastructure linked to the group. The humanitarian situation in Lebanon continues to worsen as the conflict intensifies. Lebanese authorities report that more than 7,60,000 people have been displaced, while emergency services are under strain following strikes on health facilities in the south. Tehran has responded with defiant rhetoric, with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard claiming it launched two intermediate-range ballistic missiles towards the US-UK base at Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean, marking a potential expansion of the conflict's reach. Iranian officials have declared that the enemy has been defeated, while also warning that future strikes could target recreational and tourist locations globally. In the United Arab Emirates, officials say the situation remains under control despite heightened alert levels. Authorities confirmed that loud sounds heard over Dubai were the result of air defense interceptions, with residents urged to follow official guidance. Flight operations remained limited, with major carriers adjusting schedules due to restricted airspace. A report.
Tensions across West Asia are rising sharply, with more strikes, increased military deployments and growing humanitarian concerns. Israel has intensified its offensive in Beirut, while the United States is boosting its military presence across the region. Iran, meanwhile, is sending mixed signals, issuing strong warnings, expanding its military actions and at the same time calling for diplomacy. President Masoud Pezeshkian has proposed a new regional security framework involving Islamic countries in West Asia, aimed at maintaining peace and stability without outside involvement. But the proposal comes even as attacks continue across Gulf, impacting all GCC countries over the past 3 weeks, with civilian casualties rising and increasing pressure on regional economies. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News from Dubai.
South Korea has said that they are ready to join efforts to ensure safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz, responsible for 20% of the global oil and gas supply. South Korean Foreign Ministry stated that it will join 7 countries, including European nations and Japan, in their joint statement condemning Iran's attack in the Gulf and the de facto closure of the Strait of Hormuz. The joint statement issued by Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands and Canada calls on Iran to cease its attacks and attempts to block the strategic waterway and comply with the principle of freedom of navigation. External Affairs Ministry's fact-check unit has debunked claims that the U.S. asked India to support military assets to bomb Iran from Western India. It has urged people to stay alert against such false and baseless claims and posts on social media. The Election Commission of India, ECI, has constituted 19 appellate tribunals in West Bengal to hear appeals related to inclusion or exclusion of voters in the electoral rolls as part of the Special Intensive Revision SIR exercise in the state. The ECI said the decision was taken in compliance with the 10th of March 2026 order of the Supreme Court and based on the recommendation of the Chief Justice of the Calcutta High Court. It noted that of the 19 tribunals, one will be headed by former Chief Justice T.S. Shivgyanam, while the remaining will be led by former High Court judges, including Pradipta Ray and Tapan Sen. The BJP has released the third list of 11 candidates for the upcoming assembly elections in Kerala. The list includes the names of T.N. Suresh, who will contest from Kovalam Assembly seat, V. Rathish from Pirumare seat, Ajimon from Mavelikara, while Vivek Gopan will contest from Aruvikara seat, and K.R. Rajesh will be the party candidate from Chavara seat. The BJP has also released the list of its 9 candidates for the upcoming assembly elections in Puducherry. The BJP has fielded A. Namasivayam from Manadipet seat, PML Kalyan Sundaram from Kalapet seat, while GNS Rajashekaran will contest from Thirunallar and A. Dineshan will be the party candidate from Mahi Assembly constituency. The Congress has released another list of 7 candidates for the upcoming assembly elections in Assam. The party has fielded Bidisha Niyog from Jalukbari seat. Jayanta Bora will contest from Biswanath Assembly seat, while Rahul Roy will be the party candidate from Hailakandi Assembly constituency. The names of the candidates were finalized by the Central Election Committee of Congress. The party has also left 11 seats for its ally, Rai Jor Dal, in the state. Polling for the 126-member Assam Assembly will be held on the 9th of April, while counting of votes will take place on the 4th of May. This is Akashwari giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsoneir.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. On the third and final day of her visit to Uttar Pradesh, President Draupadi Murmu today visited Dan Ghati Temple in Govardhan in Mathura district and offered prayers. The president also undertook the traditional Govardhan Parikrama before returning to Delhi. The three-day visit of President Murmu to Uttar Pradesh began on Thursday with a darshan of the Ram Janmabhoomi Temple in Ayodhya. After that, she offered prayers at ISKCON Temple and the Prem Mandir in Vrindavan. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan has urged students, while following a modern and progressive mindset, they should not forget the rich and diverse cultural heritage of our country. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan was addressing the 29th National Youth Parliament at the Maharshi Vyas Auditorium in Dr. Hedgewar Smriti Mandir in Resham Bag at Nagpur today.
We have to adapt ourselves for the modern technology, modern economical development, modern scientific developments, no doubt. While we are equipping ourselves to adapt to the modern needs of the global world, we have to sustain our great heritage and culture, and we should never forget about our roots.
The Gujarat government is set to take up the Uniform Civil Code Bill for discussion in the State Assembly in the coming week. The State Cabinet on Wednesday approved the implementation of the UCC after the High-Level Committee, chaired by retired Supreme Court Justice Ranjana Prakash Desai, submitted its comprehensive report to the Chief Minister, Bhupendra Patel. A report from our correspondent.
Detailed rules have been prepared in 209 pages for this bill in Gujarat. Important provisions of the bill have been made, in which it will be mandatory to register every marriage in the state. However, even if the marriage is not registered, the marriage will not be considered invalid, but the person who does not register can be fined. The prescribed process of the marriage registration has also been decided for the marriages that took place before the implementation of this bill. Rules regarding marriage ceremony and marriage contract have been mentioned in the bill. Then a detailed discussion will be held on all these rules in the Legislative Assembly. Harshal Pandya, Akashvani News, Ahmedabad.
Eid ul-Fitr is being celebrated in various parts of the country today. The festival marks the culmination of the fasting month of Ramzan. On the occasion, faithfuls dressed in traditional attire will offer Eid prayers at Eidgahs and mosques. They exchange greeting and visit relatives and friends, sharing sweets along with warm wishes. In Jammu and Kashmir, the Eid ul-Fitr is being celebrated across the regions today. This Eid is celebrated after the conclusion of holy month of Ramadan. A report.
Eid ul-Fitr is one of the most significant festivals in Islam that is celebrated with special prayers, feasting and acts of charity. Markets in Srinagar and elsewhere in Jammu and Kashmir saw a surge in shopping as people were seen purchasing sweets, clothing and gifts. On this occasion, people visit friends and relatives that creates an ambience of love, brotherhood and unity in diversity. The largest gathering of Eid prayers was held at Dargah Hazratwal in Srinagar outskirts. Tariq Rathar, Akashwani News, Srinagar.
President Draupadi Murmu, Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan and Prime Minister Narendra Modi have extended greetings to the people on the occasion of Eid ul-Fitr today. Union Minister for Environment, Forest and Climate Change Bhupendra Yadav has emphasized the need for a balanced approach between economy and ecology for the country's development. Addressing the inaugural session of a two-day national workshop in Dehradun today on the occasion of International Day of Forests, he said that achieving this balance requires a science-based approach.
A developed India should not only be economically strong, it should also be a nation that offers a model for ecological sustainability. We must adopt a balanced approach between economy and ecology. For this, our approach should be science-based and our interventions should be driven by technology. Moving towards carbon neutrality should be at the core of our industrial growth. Only by advancing in these areas can we promote and strengthen our green GDP.
The government has proposed the Biopharma Shakti Strategy for Healthcare Advancement through Knowledge, Technology and Innovation Initiative in the Union Budget 2026-27 to position India as a global biopharmaceutical manufacturing hub. The initiative will be launched with a total outlay of 10,000 crore over the next 5 years and aims to build a strong ecosystem for the domestic production of biologics and biosimilars. The IMD has issued an orange alert for thunderstorms accompanied by hailstorms over Odisha, West Bengal and Sikkim today. The weather agency also forecasts thunderstorms and lightning over Chhattisgarh, Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh till tomorrow. Similar weather conditions are expected over northeastern states during the next 2 days. And in sports, in Orleans Masters Badminton, India's Tanvi Sharma will take on former world champion Nozomi Okuhara of Japan in the semi-finals of women's singles at Palais des Sports in France this evening. Tanvi defeated Japan's sixth seed Natasuki Nidera 21-14 in the quarterfinal clash yesterday. In the other last four clash, India's Isharani Barua will face Thailand's Pichamon Apatinuput tonight. Isharani stormed into the semi-final after Malvika Bansal retired midway. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. U.S. President Donald Trump says he's considering winding down military operations against Iran as it is getting very close to meeting the objective of operations. United States announces a 30-day sanctions waiver permitting the sale of Iranian oil currently stranded at sea to stabilize global oil markets. Election Commission constitutes 19 appellate tribunals in West Bengal to hear appeals related to inclusion or exclusion of voters in the electoral rolls as part of special intensive revision exercise. President Draupadi Murmu offers prayers at Dhanghati Temple in Govardhan, Mathura, also undertakes traditional Govardhan Parikrama. Eid ul-Fitr marking culmination of holy month of Ramzan being celebrated today. President, Vice President and Prime Minister extend greetings to the people. And IMD issues alert for thunderstorms accompanied by hailstorms over Odisha, West Bengal and Sikkim today. And with that, we end the midday news.